Blog Talk Radio.
So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is a Mr. Media interview, sponsored by the audiobook edition of Will Eisner, A Spirited Life, now available on iTunes and Audible.com, and recorded live on blogtalkradio.com from the new media and American League Baseball capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida. Has it really been a whole year? Wow. This time last year, Army Wives was on the eve of its second season, and I had the great pleasure of welcoming the show's creator, Catherine Fugue, as a guest. But today's pretty cool, too, though. Bridget Brown, who plays Pamela Moran on the hit Lifetime show, is about to join us to talk about the series' third season.
Previously on Army Wives.
Chase is gone for weeks at a time. I look after the kids. I look after the house. I move the damn house. And he comes in and he thinks he can change everything.
Hey, I know plenty about football.
Really?
Yeah, really. Enough so the coach don't ask me to be his assistant.
Oh, that must be one desperate coach.
You are still looking for an assistant?
Yeah.
Bridget has been acting for over 18 years. She's about 19. She's had recurring roles on CSI, Kindred, The Embraced, Legacy, Brooklyn South, and Angel, among others. And before joining Army Wives, she was a series regular on the Stephen Bochco series Over There. She has also guest starred on many television shows, many other shows, including Cold Case, Without a Trace, 24, ER, Star Trek Enterprise, Charmed, Dharma and Greg, Sliders, and NYPD Blue. Oh, man. And you know what? There is nothing like starting the day with a talented and beautiful redhead. Bridget, welcome to Mr. Media.
Oh, thank you. Good to be here.
Good to have you.
I think you're aging me, though.
I'm sorry?
I think you're aging me, though. It sounds like I'm like 100.
That was crazy, wasn't it? You couldn't possibly have been acting for 18 years. You're only, what, 20, 21?
Even longer, actually. Hilarious.
Oh, God, we'll have to get that update. Well, or maybe not. We'll just, my advice is start leaving the number out of these.
Yeah, I am leaving it out. When I heard you, I'm like, whew, lordy.
Now, your character on the show was a radio talk show personality last season, so let's just check in. How am I doing so far?
Not so bad. I can give you a few pointers at the end. You know, who knows?
All right, good. I look forward to that.
Yeah, right.
What's the hardest part of portraying an Army wife?
I think it's a great responsibility in a lot of ways. I think that I have so much respect for those who serve and their families that, you know, I do feel that it's really important to get it right and not to make it to Hollywood or anything like that. So, you know, there's a little bit of, I just feel responsibility in terms of depicting them in an honest way and, you know, not coaxing over things too easily. So, you know, we run into Army Wives and they actually like the show or they feel that your portrayal is honest. That's a huge compliment. So I try to keep it honest. I think that's one of the biggest.
Challenges. Have you heard much directly from Army Wives about your character?
Yeah, a lot of people. apparently, the fact that I keep a very messy house and I'm kind of chaotic and I don't cook is like a really good thing, which is nice. You know, they talk about just having kids and a lot on their plate, and so I think they appreciate, you know, the idea that. I'm not depicting perfection. You know that there's real chaos that goes on.
Now, are you that chaotic at home, or are you? I know you're married. Are you chaotic, or are you neater?
No, I'm actually kind of a neat freak. Pamela can't cook, and I love to cook. And literally, even if somebody comes and helps me in the kitchen, if they walk out of the kitchen and the plate hasn't been appropriately arranged or decorated, I'd probably murder them. I'm quite the opposite. I love to entertain and host, and she's, of course, not that way.
Well, I...
So, and I grew up in a lot of chaos, so I'm depicting my own childhood, I think.
Is it kind of an in-joke then, sort of, that you're not allowed in the kitchen to cook on the show?
Yeah, it's hilarious. Because of all of the ladies, we've sat around and I've seen, you know, plates of appetizers out at Claudia Joy's, and I look at it and I think, oh my God, what is this? It's like Ritz crackers with a, I mean, it's, you know, it's not very sophisticated or homemade or any of this. And they're like, look at how fancy Claudia Joy is. And I'm like, are you kidding? This is junk. It's junk. And they would, you know, they sooner serve you like, you know, pizza or burritos with the paper on it. At least, you know, Sally has said as much, so it's pretty hilarious. And so, I'm the one who has no clue.
Do you entertain a lot at home yourself?
Yes, I do. I keep saying I'm Irish, but it's true. I'm very Irish and social. I can't help myself, I think. Come over. It'll be great.
So what would be, I have to ask, what would be like a dish or a meal that you would take great pleasure in serving?
Well, I'm a huge fan of cheese, so I never have people over without having some kind of ridiculously fancy cheese platter. Just, I'm a bit of a connoisseur of cheeses. But I'll make, you know, if I'm making something comfortable, I'd make eggplant parmesan or, you know, a pot pie kind of something, you know, if you're doing a cozy meal. But if I was doing, I like to make soups a lot. I love soup. Soup makes everything better. So, I do tend to make a little bit of a soup, whether it's a cold one or whatever, you know, when people are coming over and just sip in little cups. I like to set it up so it's cute. I'm a little geeky, exactly, on that front.
You mentioned the traditional Irish dish, pod thai, right?
Pod pie. Well, yeah, a shepherd's pie, too. That's another thing that I make, which is very traditional Irish.
Okay. Now, I understand you guys are filming right now. I want to play a clip from what I think is last week's episode, where there's a little bit of tension in the Moran household. Listen to this, and then we can talk about this.
Okay.
If you like the CEO, I'm going to take him up on it. Yeah, I've got time. Thanks for the heads up.
Who is that?
James McKeon, team leader from Fort Hood days.
Oh, right.
He hooked me up with a guy to lead some instructional training down there.
In Texas? For how long?
6 weeks.
Leaving when?
Monday.
Monday? You just got home. Are these orders?
Nope. It's voluntary.
Chase, you offered to go?
Well, it's pretty obvious I'm not really needed around here.
Come on.
What? I'm serious.
Is this about postponing fishing? Because if it is, you are being a big baby.
It's not just that, okay? Ever since I came home, everything I do is wrong. I throw bottles in the wrong trash can. I put clothes in the wrong part of the closet.
Please.
What? I can't even find things in my drawers in any sort of order like they used to be, Pamela.
Chase, I moved this whole house by myself. Do I get so much as a thank you? No,
thank you
just complain about the furniture.
It's furniture that I paid for, okay?
You do not want to go there.
Look, I can't even take my own son to football practice.
Oh, I knew
I can't
it.
Even
you
control my own
pissing
schedule.
Pissing on your territory. Chase, I have my own way of doing things.
Pamela.
How else do you think this
Pamela.
Family survives when
Pamela.
You're not
Pamela, hey,
here?
Look, I take...
You can't
hey,
come back in and
hey,
take over.
Hey, I take orders for a living, okay? I don't need it when I come home.
I do not give orders.
Yes, you do.
Chase, you just can't stand the fact that I don't take orders from you.
That's a great clip. A little long, I guess, but tell us what's going on in Pamela's life in season 3.
Well, Chase comes back. You know, he's gone a lot and for long periods, of, you know, for 3 weeks or a month at a time and then pops in for 2 weeks or a week. So, you know, it's difficult enough. But while he's gone, they finally get a housing upgrade and she moves all of their stuff to this new house, and he's immediately put off by the fact that he doesn't know where anything is. She's in charge of the house in a lot of ways, you know, and he feels like just, you know, I think he doesn't feel like it's his home anymore or any space. And then all of a sudden, you know, things are different. He's taking his daughter to ballet. Pamela's taking the son to football. And, you know, they start to have a little bit of a competition about who's really in charge or who's following whom, I think. And I think that's always an issue for them. You know, I think that they struggle. I think they're competitive, both of them, by nature, and they struggle to keep up with each other. Mm. So I think that, or, you know, to not have one be the boss of the other, I think, or lose their identity like that. So I think that, like in this scene, it's just come to a head. I mean, he's so frustrated that, you know, he's sitting in ballet and he doesn't know, you know, he doesn't know where anything is, and he feels kind of like a second-class citizen in his own home. And I think she's frustrated with doing all the work and still getting, you know, a bunch of grief for it. So this was a fight scene that Jeremy, who plays Chase, and I loved, because we love to fight. I mean, it's fun. So we did this, I think, 100 times this scene. We were literally laying on the bed waiting for our director to give us notes on the scene. He's like, are you good to go again? And we've been screaming at the top of our lungs. And we're like, yeah, we're good. Just tell us what you want. But we're both like passed out practically on the bed. A little exhausting, but very good.
It's the relationship between these two characters is one of the strongest and most challenging in the show, I think. I remember the great reveal in the first season where Pamela's been a surrogate mother and carrying a baby to earn money for the family, which, of course, he hates. And then we find out at the end that she's been carrying for people who are listening and don't know, Pamela is white and has red hair, coincidentally, so does Bridget. And she's carrying a baby for an African-American family, we find out. It's the big reveal at the end. And that was just, whoa, blow my mind. You know, that was very cool.
That's funny. Do you know, personally, I've only had babies on TV, if you will, twice, you know, twins and just one other. But each time I've only had black children.
So, interesting.
It's like a thing with me. I don't know.
Do they have red hair, though?
No. No, I think that the fact that I'm so white and have red hair, you know, probably makes it just that much more pronounced, right? The expectation is an extremely white child, not the opposite.
It is. It is interesting. Now, the other thing that's interesting this season is Pamela is coaching football. What did you think when you first heard about that?
I thought I might die. Thank you. You know, my family. We have I have a big Irish family in San Francisco. We have a huge football game every Thanksgiving, and I am not exactly known for catching the football or passing the football. I can run faster probably than most, but, you know, and I can certainly gain yards there, but they told me I needed to throw a tight spiral, I'd need to punt and catch. All of a sudden, you know, I spent an entire month, I mean, full boy. I'm like, who's the guy that'll hang out with me now and play football? Come on, are you a man or a mouse? Let's play football. It was hilarious. I was like, oh. My new job this month, football.
It does seem to fit the character, though.
Yeah, it was fun. And I had to, like, you know, it's just, you know, as an actor, it's always kind of fun to take on something new. But I definitely wasn't sure how it would go. In the end, you know, I learned a tight spiral a couple of ways. I had kind of a side one. As somebody was saying, a little Brett Favre, a little low into the side, that I was very proud of. And then, of course, you know, on the day of filming, they wanted it high and kind of different than I was doing it. And I was like, oh, okay, so I'm just going to kind of pose here, right, after a month. Like, trying to get it right, yeah. So it was a little funny, even in the end. And they gave me a bigger football.
Maybe you could offer Tony Romo some tips.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure he'd be eager.
I bet he would. Now, if you could, let me get away from that. If you could have played any other woman on Army Wives, any other character, who would it be and why?
It would be Roxy, definitely. Mm-hmm. I don't do so well with kind of being prim or, you know, the person who does the appropriate thing. Even though I talked about cooking and liking to make, you know, and kind of being a little fancy like that, I'm much more a fan of playing somebody kind of down to earth and a little messy, a little screwed up, a little crazy. And I think that, you know, I think Roxy is just bold and fun and, you know, she's got a lot of sass. So, and there's something about kind of coming in dressed all trashy and, you know, acting like you're the Queen of Sheba. That's something I suppose I enjoy. So she would definitely be a fun character.
You were saying that, and I was remembering how we were introduced to her early on with her coming into the ladies' room and using the hot air dryers on her was it on her underarms? I can't even remember now, but it was pretty amazing.
On her dress, because she...
that's it.
Yeah. So she took your entire dress off, yes.
Yeah, that's it. That's a way to make an entrance. now, I have to ask you about this, because I promised my daughter. I've got a 12-and-a-half-year-old who just discovered Charmed, and she was looking over my shoulder and saw that you had been in an episode, and I promised I would ask if there was anything about the show that you were on that you remembered you could share.
That's so funny. I'm trying to think of...
it's been a while.
Give me a second on that one. Actually, the one of the funniest things is, you know, I was wearing a witch costume the entire time, and I was... Shanna Doherty was kind of giving me a little grief, making jokes, because I was dragging behind me. We were up in kind of the woods of L.A., if you can imagine such a thing, the canyons. And I was dragging everywhere I went. Every time I walked outside, I was dragging all these little logs and twigs at the bottom of my long witch costume, which was hilarious. And she considers herself like a sort of protective person, Shanna Doherty. So she kept telling me about it. And I was like, you know, I'm good. Me, the log, it's fine. Like, I'm all right. So we kind of got along well after that, just because I was, you know, it was a little bit of a tough chick moment. Likewise, like, just, you know, it's all just drag a bunch of logs. It's kind of a random thing to say. But there's something else that's... I find my brain as I'm talking. I'm a vegetarian, a long-time vegetarian, and I had to, you know, pretend to put my hand in this guy's chest and pull out his heart. It was a real pig's heart that I was holding it for hours. Yeah, and they're like, are you okay with this? And I'm like, yeah, I'm just vegetarian over here. This is awesome. Where did you get this pig heart? I mean, it was just... You know, it was a little funky, gross moment.
Man.
Yeah, holding a raw pig's heart. I mean, not a lot of us get to do that. It was really fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm reminded of running from a theater when I was 12, watching Tales from the Crypt, where someone gets a beating heart in an envelope, and they open it up, and I was just like, okay, I gotta leave. So thank you. Thanks for bringing that back. Well, we're going to run out of time.
Have you ever watched Anthony Bourdain? That cooking show?
Sure.
He ate a beating snake's heart, because I suppose it's something that they do. I don't know where he was, Nepal or something. And he literally, you eat the live snake heart, and it was beating in his chest. I was like, I don't think so.
No.
I think it's official. That's the end of it.
I mean, Bourdain eats and goes to some incredible places. But,
yeah.
You know, I draw the line at watching versus following, you know?
sick. Yeah.
Wow. Well, I want to tell everybody you can find DVDs of the first two seasons of Army Wives. They're available for sale on mrmedia.com, Mr. Media, or at amazon.com, or probably in your favorite. Well, are there any DVD stores out there still? They're out there. Find them. And you can.
Blockbuster
I think you
still exists.
Blockbuster, there you go. Netflix, you can get them on Netflix. And I think you can still download individual episodes of the show on iTunes and probably a few other places.
Mm-hmm.
Bridget, it was delightful to talk to you. I want to thank you so much for being with us on Mr. Media today.
Likewise. I had a lot of fun.
Take care, and hopefully we'll get you back next. Oh, I almost forgot. Catch Bridget in Acceptance, a new Lifetime movie, right?
Yep.
Got that coming up. Sorry, I almost missed that. So anyway, thank you very much.
I almost missed it too. Thank you.
My pleasure. Take care of yourself.
You too.
All right.
You have a good day.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
The moderator has terminated this call. Thank you for using...
Yeah, we always like to get that moderator stuff in there. So for dozens more interviews with your favorite TV stars, you can surf over to our main website, www.mrmedia.com. That's where you can listen to my interviews with the stars of Curb Your Enthusiasm, Worst Week, My Name is Earl, The Starter Wife, Heroes, on and on and on, Breaking Bad, you name it, it's up there. And please think about writing an online review of Mr. Media, casting a vote for Mr. Media, or marking Mr. Media as one of your favorites. Whether you listen on Blog Talk Radio, TrueSlant.com, DigitalJournal.com, Vox.com, Podcast Pickle, MediaFly, Podfeed.net, Blueberry, Zencast, Zimbio, or Odeo. And subscribe to Mr. Media on iTunes and you'll never miss a show. Just search Mr. Media Interviews from within iTunes and subscribe for free. Or subscribe to Mr. Media's blog on the Amazon Kindle Reader. You can also listen with a piece of string and a tin can in many locations. If you've got an idea for a guest, email me directly at bob@andelman.com. That's A-N-D-E-L-M-A-N. You can also follow me on Facebook or on Twitter, www.twitter.com/andelman. That's professional radio stumbling there. Thanks for joining us today. I always appreciate when you give up a little piece of your day and spend it with us. And here's another little piece, just the opening of Bruce Springsteen doing Redheaded Woman. Thanks for listening. Remember that?